to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, August 28th, 2022, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Jesus could take any situation and make a sermon out of it. Kind of a fun parlor game. Take something and just make a homily out of it. In this case, he was at a dinner party, and he was watching the usual way that people exercised etiquette in those days at a dinner party. First of all, the dinner party was, the seating chart was basically ranked by order of importance. The closest to the host meant the most important, and then all the way down to the end, the least important. And Jesus said, you don't want to be caught sitting in the wrong place. And I gotta say, when we were having our Bible study this week, I confess that that's one of my biggest fears, is to be at a place where I'm not welcome, invited, or appropriate. I mean, I can't imagine anything more humiliating than being told you're sitting in the wrong pew. Move. That's my pew. Hospitality, real hospitality in Jesus' eyes, is flipping that social order over. Instead of the most important seats, take the lowest seats. Right? Those who humble themselves will be exalted, but those who exalt themselves often do get humbled. Or when you invite someone, he says, if you're going to show hospitality, don't do it to gain favor. Sometimes people would invite the right people over to kind of build social networks and climb the social ladder, right? Jesus says, no, go down the social ladder. Invite the people who can't possibly invite you back. And then you'll know what hospitality really means. Back when I was serving in Western New York, the cathedral in Buffalo adopted a slogan, which I found very wonderful. Everybody's writing mission statements, and they said, well, we're just going to have a motto that kind of expresses our theology. And the motto was, a place at the table for all forever. A place at the table for all forever. It was a statement of Jesus-centered hospitality, that whoever came to that church was welcome at God's table. And I found it very wonderful and evocative, because I think it got at this teaching of Jesus in our gospel today. We know what hospitality looks like. This church has practiced wonderful hospitality for many years, working at Bound Together, providing food for children in the reading program, working with SOS and now Lighthouse in providing hospitality to homeless people for a week, providing meals for those who need them, working with Neighborhood House. Just this weekend, we had two wonderful events that expressed the hospitality of this congregation. The first was the blood drive on Friday, through which life-saving gifts of blood were gathered and distributed throughout our community, thanks to this one, well-deserved. Thanks to the efforts of our volunteers who make that happen, providing the space, providing the opportunity for that life-saving ministry to happen. And then yesterday, a funeral and a funeral reception for one of our members whose wife had had a long battle with Alzheimer's. And I remember he said to me, I don't think anyone's going to come. No one really knew her. I don't have that many friends in the community. They moved up here from the South. And he was overwhelmed at the hospitality. The men's lunch group that he attends, they showed up. The book group that he belongs to here, other members of the church, the ECW worked really hard to provide just a beautiful lunch for him and his family. And he was overwhelmed with the sense of welcome, a place at the table for him as he mourns the loss of his wife. Hospitality has been on my mind a lot recently. And not just that kind of reactive hospitality, right? When someone comes, we slide over. Part of the way we make room is, you know, if someone were to sit in our pew. We would slide over and make room, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we just make sure there's always a room for an extra chair at the table, always room for one more to squeeze into the pew. We understand that kind of welcome, and I hope we always practice it. But what hit me recently was a kind of proactive hospitality. What does it mean to go out and to connect? I was reading an article in the paper that talked about the terrible affliction of loneliness in our society. Something like 20% of men over 40 have no friends, zero, not one. Isn't that shocking? But you can understand it. You raise a family, you go to work, you're busy. All of a sudden you reach a point in your life when it's harder to make friends, when you are more inward facing and it becomes harder and harder to reach out. The study talked about the fact that it's bizarre to live in a society of loneliness when we're surrounded by people all the time. But something prevents us from reaching out, from being proactive in establishing connections. Think of the last time you were on an airplane next to a stranger. Did you strike up a conversation? Or did both of you put on your headphones, open up your book, angle your body away, and try to have no contact whatsoever? We think, according to this article, that those interactions are going to be negative or boring or a problem, when in fact, study after study shows that when we extend ourselves, our lives are almost always enriched and blessed. Meeting someone new makes a connection that feeds our souls. When I was on vacation a few weeks ago in the Berkshires, a place where I used to live, we stopped into this little town, a cute little bookstore, and I was browsing through the books, and the bookstore owner provided for me an example of proactive hospitality. It's also good salesmanship, because he was trying to sell books, but he struck up a conversation. He said, "Oh, that book you're looking at, I know the authors, two old guys who lived in the town and wrote." It was basically a study of philosophy through jokes, which is about how I can handle philosophy these days, is by reading jokes. And he said, I love that book because they used to tell me those jokes all the time. And then we started talking a little bit more, and he found out that I had used to live there. Oh, where did you work? Oh, he says, did you know Gwen Sears, who happened to be an incredibly important person in my life? She was the deacon at the church where I served when I was first ordained 30 years ago. I wasn't sure if she was even alive. And he said, oh yes, Gwen. She used to sit on right in front of my desk here on a little stool, and we would talk for hours, and she knew everybody in town, and she was a dear, dear friend. He told me that she was actually living just under a mile away in a nursing home. And so Susan and I said, hey, we should stop over and see Gwen. So we left the bookstore. I did buy that philosophy book, and we went to the nursing home. She was there. We were able to go see her, chat with her. She was so delighted to see us, really weakened and clearly getting towards the end of life. But we prayed with her, and it was just a very holy time, especially for me. 2 days later, I got an email from the priest that both of us had worked for, who was the rector of that parish, telling me that she had died. What a holy moment that was, all possible thanks to the proactive hospitality of the owner of a bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. Now, it turns out that this guy is particularly known for his hospitality. He turned his bookstore, which I'm guessing does not make a lot of money. If you've ever run a bookstore, it is not a big profit-making enterprise. But he has turned it into a community gathering place where people come for readings, to meet authors. He put aside some space for a little wine bar where some locals come and hold forth and have time together. He has made a little oasis out of that store, and he is a genius at making connections. He told me they have made a documentary movie about him and his bookstore, which I have to go and now watch. Because for me, he showed me something really important. And he made a connection that was incredibly life-giving for me. When we look at our scriptures today, they're all about hospitality. The hospitality of God who creates a space for his people Israel in the promised land. The God who creates a community of disciples for in Jesus of Nazareth, invites them into a new relationship with God. The letter to the Hebrews reminds us that when we entertain strangers, we are entertaining angels in disguise. Isn't that a lovely thought? Anytime you do connect with a stranger, you are meeting an angel. You are in fact meeting God, because that person is created in God's image. The problem is that we fail sometimes to live up to God's hospitality. We fail to respond in the same spirit of God's hospitality. We are closed off from God and from one another because we're afraid or suspicious, or honestly, sometimes just because we're busy. I think that moment in the bookstore happened for me because for once I was not rushing somewhere distracted by all the things I had to do. I was on vacation. I was living in the moment. I was more present, and so I was able to experience that moment of grace. So today, what would it look like for us to show hospitality to God? Would it mean taking time in prayer and contemplation to slow down and experience the living presence of God? Would it be taking a risk and introducing ourselves to a stranger, perhaps someone we see a lot but have never met? What would that hospitality look like, and how might God work to create for us a transformative moment of grace? Because God has welcomed us to this table, welcomed us into God's eternal and glorious kingdom. How might we share that amazing invitation with all those we meet on this earthly pilgrimage?